The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Mike, I got a quick story for you, buddy. I just want you to listen to this.
You got it.
You know, all my life, different things and things I struggle with. I was with a friend of mine one time who's actually a good friend of yours, somebody you really admire, and he and I were talking, and he referred him to himself as a serial entrepreneur. And Mike, honestly, I don't think I could spell either one of those words. Like, I was trying this morning, I was thinking, how do you even spell that? And then as he was start talking about it, and I kind of went away thinking, you know, that was weird. But the more I processed it really over years, I really realized, like, man, I'm a serial entrepreneur.
Yes,
and
you are.
Yeah, no, and I don't fit into traditional boxes. But the older I get, when I see people who are doing it way beyond, immediately, if they're doing like me, it's amazing. But when they're way beyond me, it blows my mind. And our guest today is an amazing serial entrepreneur that blows my mind. She's farther advanced than I'm ever going to be. We have Liana McKnight here with us. Liana, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay. So I'm so glad you're here as our guest. You're a serial entrepreneur.
Thank you.
You have two patents. You've done all this crazy cool stuff and have had this amazing career. And so I want to talk to you today about being an entrepreneur. Would you want to start off? Would you just mind just telling us a little bit about you and your background?
Cool. So I'm from New Orleans. I grew up in New Orleans in the Lower Ninth Ward, home of the Creole cuisine and bounce music, but
nice.
Notably Mardi Gras. So growing up, I did attend over like 11 schools before I graduated high school. I know that's probably like a large number to a lot of people. But however, before I graduated, I took up cosmetology as a vocational. And this would be like my first time being introduced to the beauty industry.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, I didn't grow up wanting to be a beauty expert or anything like that. Just like anybody else, my parents wanted me to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, the typical. But growing up, I always had a fascination with teeth. I remember being a young girl, I used to love looking in the mirror and just looking at my new teeth growing in and wondering if I was going to have a gap or if I was going to need braces.
Mm.
And I just always admired a really nice smile. So I wanted to be a dentist growing up. And so fast forwarding, I did attend U of H downtown, which is Houston University downtown. That's where I took up biology and minored in psychology. But after 2.5 years of paying out of pocket, I couldn't do it anymore. And it did get a little hard for me. But so I decided to give the beauty industry a really hard look and try. And along my journey, it was a lot of challenges, being that a lot of my records from my cosmetology credits during high school got lost. It made me have to take up a few more hours at Texas Barber College. And this is where I wound up getting my credits and being able to qualify for my license. But just with anything, I had to make a lot of sacrifices. And while working, I did bill collections with Bank of America. So I have a little bit of call center experience there. I also did sales with Nextel and Sprint. So customer service kind of comes natural to me, being able to communicate with my client or my customer base. That's just, it's not even a foreign language. It's just like second nature. And just like with any new career, I had to start from the bottom. I worked as a shampoo apprentice.
Wow.
I did assistant behind the chair. I also did renting my own chair. I wound up working up to renting my own chair to establishing my own salon studio. And being able to establish my own salon studio was very enriching to me because it was something that I can call my own and also customize that experience for my client, which I'm very proud to say that I wound up being rated the top 5 celebrity hairstylists by the Hollywood Reporter. So I'm very proud of that.
Well, you should
and,
be.
Should be. Yes. And that was in, let me think, that was in 2020, right before the pandemic hit. But although I never did take up any business courses or any classes, I would say that business has always been fluent to me.
Mm-hmm.
Being that I was the only child I'm pretty sure a lot of only childs can relate. We can be a little weird at times. I'm very observant. I love to study. Sometimes I even have to catch myself with staring. Some people may get offended because I'm just looking for a very long time. But a lot of times I'm just trying to, I would say I have a engineering mind, and I like to see how I can solve a problem, but also want to figure out how I can apply any situation to customize it as my own. Gotcha. So I can go in a fast food place or Target, and I will be able to pull away from that to be able to customize that, whether that be in my salon space or just in my other entities or businesses that I own. But I will say this, being that my husband believes in everything tech, this has played a really big part on my career, because I wasn't really a girl who loved computers or I was big into Google, but my husband, I would have to give him credit because he is the person who bought my first laptop. Mm. And I didn't know this was going to make a pretty much give me a really big pivot within my career to where I am today. Because once I dropped out of college to become a dentist, I'll be honest with you, I was completely lost. I didn't really know what was next for me, but I knew the call center wasn't my end-all be-all. So I'm definitely a big believer in faith, and I did a lot of praying, a lot of sowing in seeds, and I really had to figure it out. But that investment that my husband made into me in my beginning career, I did a lot. I was able to do a lot of researching on how to market myself. What does it take to develop a business? What does a business structure look like? And with all that information that's accessible to us today that I'm very blessed for, is I would have to give credit to where I am today.
Gotcha.
How I got here.
Gotcha. Well, let me jump in, because, man, that's a lot. That's a lot. There's a lot that's good. Let me start by saying this. When I told my parents that I was going to major in real estate in college, my mom immediately said, "How are you going to find a job?" Now, my mom listens to every show, and she's going to be embarrassed to tell the story. "Mom, it worked out. I'm paying my bills. It's all good," you know. So I get that as far as, like, people wondering, like, what are you doing? And when I told people, I was just people I knew, church or society, that I was in college and majoring in real estate, people didn't really respect that industry. But obviously, it's a billion-dollar industry, and you are in a billion-dollar industry. Right?
Yeah.
And it's also, it's not impacted by Amazon. It's really kind of recession-proof. I mean, so I say kudos to you. You picked the right space. And then I think when you talked about being an only child, what jumps out to me when I think a lot of times about only child kids, a lot of times they're around adults more than others. And
this is very true.
And so that you tend to study adults, and you probably connect better. And so what I wanted to take that to, I have to think that a big part of your job, you're dealing with people in a very intimate way, right? I mean, you're physically close to them. Sometimes they're having some big emotional thing in life, and they tell you all about it. So just talk to me about that, just the intimacy of that work.
It's funny that you say that. When I go back and I think about the friends that I have, they're way older than me. They're like 7 years or plus older than me. And when I think about my business, on how I have cornerstoned myself and bringing in those clients that you speak of, all of my clients are pretty much have always been at least 10 plus years older than me. Mm-hmm. They're attracted to me right away as soon as they're Googling up establishment on where they can receive the top tier service or where they can receive a black hair care. I'm that person that comes to mind when they decide they want to book. At first, I thought it was something wrong with me, but I realized I was like, I think it's just a level of how I communicate and my level of understanding. And
well,
when we talk about,
you must be able to establish trust, though. I mean,
have to.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
that as well. And I mean, I have to think you have some clients that you really enjoy, like they're there and it's a blessing to be around. You probably have some clients that are, I'm using the expression bridezilla, but they're not easy to deal with. And I'm assuming you've got some skill set there where you're able to connect in a broad spectrum. Is that correct?
Yes. One thing, when you say trust, a level of trust comes with knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for me to trust you, I have to feel like you are capable of delivering what it is I'm requesting of you. Mm-hmm. So yes, definitely a lot of trust. And what comes trust comes with being open to pay also. Mm-hmm. So I find that women are very open to my consulting. They're very open to the information that I provide to them, especially when it comes to education. I'm really big on education. So before any service of any kind that I offer, I love to do a consultation because I want to get to know my customers on a more deeper level before we even get to the intimacy of at the shampoo bowl and you're looking me in my eyes
right.
while I'm washing your hair. So definitely trust is probably my number one thing mm-hmm. when it comes to any type of entrepreneurship. It doesn't just apply with beauty. It applies across the board because I feel like once you gain that level of trust, you guys are going to be able to really blossom and grow something very beautiful, whether that be a creation of a hairstyle or whether that just means blossoming of an idea. It could be anything. But definitely a very intimate business. I would say because of the intimacy of it, I'm really able to dissect what my clients want. And listening is my second best thing. Have to listen. A lot of times people, they come in and they want something and they leave with something else. And I think that's just a part of not listening and not explaining and educating to your customer on why you took the route that you took. So before every decision that I make when doing a service, I make sure that I explain to my client, I understand your needs. I repeat that need back to you. And then I articulate to you on what I do decide that what's going to be best to give you exactly what you desire, but we may have to take a little slight turn to get there. And
I like that.
I think
I like once, that. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Well, just to wrap that, we're going to have to go to break. I really, really like what you're saying there, because I do think that part of developing intimacy with people is developing trust. And part of that's through confrontation and for your ability to like really lean in is key. Before we take a break, I do want to mention this. So my oldest daughter just had prom and she had two gals at the house for 4 hours getting her ready for that. And then she's very close to them. And so I've seen that about, man, these super important days in people's lives. What a big deal it is. So you're doing great stuff.
Okay.
So we're going to take a break and then we'll be right back with Liana McKnight. And we're talking about entrepreneurship and we're talking about women in business. So good stuff. Be back in just a minute.
The Central Florida Urban League has a mission to end generational poverty. For our youth, we offer one-on-one mentoring, crime prevention skills, and after-school homework. For adults, we are proud to offer a Microsoft Office Specialist Certification course, Registered Behavioral Technician Certification, as well as Entrepreneurship and Small Business Certification. For more information on our programs, please call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
We're back. Our conversation today is with Liana McKnight, who's out of Las Vegas, and she's a hairdresser and an entrepreneur, hairdresser of the stars, I might add to that. And she was just talking about the importance of her role in developing trust and listening and connecting. And of course, she's done that at such a successful level with, you know, regular clients and then celebrity clients. Think about all the responsibility of that. And then from that also has grown into a business. So talk to us about, you know, you first are an entrepreneur in what you're doing day to day, and then you've sort of grown this into a bigger scaled entrepreneur. Can you just talk about that for a second?
Definitely. One of the things that I noticed when being an entrepreneur that there's no limitations. Although I do hair to the stars, there's always room to grow. Mm-hmm. And one of those being, I always wanted to kind of create my own product. And I remember being in a space in my life where I wasn't necessarily financial stable to be able to blossom my ideas. But I'm a firm believer in drawing down what your idea is, sketching it out, writing it down, however that works for you. And just pretty much just praying on it and always kind of refreshing my mind to go back to it. And I would honestly say when I finally got to the space where I could, I was able to patent those ideas that I sketched out probably 3 or 4 years prior to that, because I wanted to make sure that I put that in the forefront when it came to being an entrepreneur and just being a beauty professional, that there was more to me than just being a beauty professional.
Well, I think that's pretty clear. When you hear, I mean, I read about you before I, you know, met you on air, and I was like, man, I really admire this person. And, you know, I would imagine there's lots of people around you who like want to have you as a mentor, either informative for me, but how does it feel to receive that? Like, as a businesswoman, have other business people who are like, man, I admire what you're doing. Just how does it feel when you hear that?
Sometimes I can't believe it myself. I can't believe I am the person wearing those shoes. Like I said in the beginning, entrepreneurship was definitely frowned upon in my community. It was kind of laughed at. And to be able to be a demonstration to young girls and just people of color to let them know that, no, this is not a joke. Entrepreneurship is real. And it's very profitable if you take it serious.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
And there's no limits.
Yeah, no, I love that. I hear you say that, I get excited, because that's really like, you know, capitalism empowering and growing businesses. That's so powerful. I have a friend of mine, and he's a significant real estate guy. His name is Jim Seneff. And he's just one of the best. He's like, he borrowed $10,000 and now he has a billion-dollar company. And he and I were talking about things that he had overcome. And he said he suffers from the imposter syndrome. And I suffer from that. Now, are you familiar with that concept?
I am slightly familiar with it. I've heard it numerous times.
So Tina Fey has talked about this. And what it is for me is that I'll be in a meeting, you know, in Manhattan, in a boardroom with a bunch of CEOs. And I keep thinking at some point someone's going to walk in and say, hey, John, why don't you take out the garbage and get out of here, right? Like, I don't feel like I belong, because I was raised, you know, a working class poor kid. It's hard. And so I've had to sort of remind myself that, man, that's the devil talking. That's not truth. And I've earned it. And I'd say that if you ever hear that, Leon, that's the devil talking. That's not truth, because you deserve to be exactly where you are. Exactly where you are.
Because he doesn't put doubt in our mind or fear in our mind.
That's right. So tell me this. I would imagine that, you know, some of our listeners are, you know, white business leaders, male, and they're thinking to themselves, gosh, I want to do a better job of promoting Black women in my workplace, or promoting Black business people I'm doing business with. You know, on this show, we try to do a lot of that, promoting Black-owned businesses and things like that. What do you want them to know? What would, if I just put like a groom of like, you know, 60 white CEOs right in front of you and I said, hey, They're for you. They want to see good things happen to you in your business. What would you want them to hear that you think would be helpful in them connecting and being supportive of Black women in America today?
To be honest with you, this is a very simple answer. It just pretty much means have empathy. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. However you would want someone to treat your daughter or your son, is just the same respect you would give. It's really not that complicated. If you see that someone is strong in their job space and they're very well at what they do, reward them, give them a raise, move them up. I understand it may be hard, just because when you're looking at someone who doesn't look like you, sometimes you might get confused or construed with that, but at the end of the day, we're all just human.
I like that a lot. I mentioned, you know, I have two teenage daughters, and I would love for them to meet you someday, by the way, because
be great.
You are who I would want them to admire and emulate. They, you know, I always, and if Mike and I talk about this, I'm always like, hey, when I give advice to young people, whether it's a one-on-one or it's in a big way, or even it's like a legislative way, I always think to myself, does this align with the advice I would give my own daughters? And trying to, that, so I thought that, I think your answer on that is very, very, very powerful. And I think the other thing is that I would add to the same audience, I would say, try to really hard to develop empathy and that commonality, and then really work hard to give some empowerment. You know, we've got to give more and more people the opportunity. My wife has had some health issues, and we've seen sort of this team of doctors over the last few years. It's been kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you.
Sorry to hear.
No, no, thank you. But I will tell you, Liana, the two smartest doctors who have helped along this complicated stuff are both Black women. And they're awesome. Hmm. And I am so grateful every day for these super smart Black women who are caring for the love of my life and how much that means to me, you know? And so
that's beautiful.
Well, the other thing I do is when I see older Black women, I think, yeah, gosh, that's what my great grandmother looked like. And I want to respect that part of my history as well. So is there anything else you want to share that you think our audience needs to know about you or just being respectful to the kid in school that maybe traditionally is not fitting in, but is special, that how we need to maybe connect with those kids and help develop young entrepreneurs? You have any advice for that?
Definitely don't judge a book by its cover. Don't judge it based on where they're from or how they're dressed. I didn't have the coolest clothes. I wore shoes that was two sizes larger than mine that I was supposed to grow into that I did never grow into. my finances isn't my destiny at that time. Just where I'm at that time doesn't signify where I'm going. And just have patience, have understanding, and be open to share knowledge.
That is so wise. I love that. You know, it's funny. I was talking to my wife about this. I think a lot of times traditional academia, traditional church, traditional healthcare, kindness for the masses. And if you have a cold, that works out. Or if you go to church, you want to join the choir, that works out. Or if you're a kid that has a photographic memory and you get straight A's, like those things all work. But when you're an outlier, when you're dyslexic like me, or you have other different things going on in your life, you don't always fit in. And we need to have better places, mm-hmm. whether it's healthcare, church, or education that is respectful of that. So we've just got another minute or so here with you, and I'm going to try to push you here a little bit. Is there any crazy celebrity story you want to share with us? Anything? Anybody ever come in and say,
yes.
Oh, come on, give us one quick one. Go ahead. Lay it on us.
Like I said, people really admire my go-getter attitude, the fact of my knowledge, and you'd be surprised. I've had celebrities literally try to buy me because they wanted me to open up a business with them and manage it. And I said, so you want me to stop running my business to help you with your business so you can keep me working? And I was like, why would I do that?
Wow. That's got to be like a mix of emotions, right? Like in some ways that must feel proud.
It's
a compliment, but it's also like manipulative and controlling. Like that's weird, right?
But celebrities for you sometimes.
I get that. And I get, but you must meet some that are like just regular, normal, good people too, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very blessed with the people that I've come across. A lot of times it's not, I know this is not common for most, but a lot of times the celebrities that I have ran into and that I've had the opportunity of working with, we click right away, even though we may not be from the same city. We may not share the same background, the same upbringing. There's always some type of mutual ground, and that's just the love of the art.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. I like that a lot. And they're being respectful. That's cool.
Yes.
I have a friend of mine told me that they were working at a hospital, and Harrison Ford would come in every day and read to his former pilot who was terminally ill. And I remember thinking, well, that's a cool thing. Good for Indiana Jones being a good guy. And so, but I guess in your world, you also have to be kind of a vault with that stuff too, right? So you mm-hmm. hear it, and you've also got to take that in and keep that in a place and all kinds of crazy stuff. Because you might have Marvel secrets for us or something. But that, we'll talk about that the next time we have you. Thank you so much for being here. So proud of you and what you're doing. You're a role model to my daughters and to so many other people's kids. And so keep doing it and stay in touch with us. And we just thank you, Liana McKnight, for being on the show and talking to us, having a conversation today. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. I really appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. And thank you to our listeners. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.